There is a football game tomorrow. Don't take my word for it. Take Craig Bull, the head coach of the North Dakota State University Bison. Coach, you look good and actually very casual for as crazy this week as been, Coach.
You know what? It's about what's going on in between the lines, but it's always great to be on the fan here, and I like how you say the North Dakota State University. You've been doing that for a long time, Jack, and it's good to see you guys.
It is. It was neat, Craig. And I don't. I mean, we could spend the whole time talking about the activity downtown, but, you know, your activity is locked into another part of North Fargo, I know. It's got to be tough this week to balance and fun at the same time.
Well, what you don't want to do is we've got a very seasoned veteran football team, and we need to play to the strengths of that. Our guys recognize, and I told them right at the beginning, I said, what is going on, all the I don't know what term we would use, attention.
Right. Well, Troy Gergen called it a cross between a rock concert and a circus, so I think we can call it a ruckus.
That's a good point of phrase. What our players need to recognize is what goes on in between the lines.
Right.
But what you don't want to do in the midst of all that is you know, this is really a special event. And so, you know, this evening we're going to be able to load our guys up. The day before, we're going to take them down. ESPN's been these guys are phenomenal.
I've heard they've been just absolutely awesome.
They're pros, and they operate at a high level. They have a passion for college football, and so we're going to load up our guys. What they typically do for the home team, they let them come on stage and do some photo ops with the talent and stuff like that. And that's part of these guys grew up, like you said. Brock grew up watching these guys on Saturday morning. You know, red-blooded American male, and probably some females out there. You're walking
right
around with your jeans and your sweatshirt on, and maybe you mow the yard. You flip on what's going on game day. It's not so fast, my friend, and Herb Street and everything else. It's part of it. So our guys are going to be able to go down. But that once that's done, we got to play a game. And so I think what's gone on is it's not only a recognition of this year's team, but what's gone on through years and years and years. And there's a story to be told. There's a story to be told about North Dakota State, and these guys are purist with college football, and it's great that they recognize it.
I think FCS teams, when they pick off FBS opponents, which now you have done on a consistent basis, Craig, you and your football team, that when that happens, I don't even think that's an individual achievement. I think that's a team or a league achievement for the FCS. When ESPN College Game Day comes to Fargo, North Dakota, that's a team achievement, but that's wider than that.
Right.
You know,
right,
that's
they're going to do a lot of coverage on a whole lot of stuff. I think it's great for FCS football. I remember a couple of years ago when App State beat Michigan, and one of a good friend, a guy I look up to, and Jerry Moore's a mentor. He said,
sure.
"Hey, first thing he said, this is for all the 1AA guys out there." And so there's good football played at this level, and there's a neat story to be told. And I think these guys at ESPN are going to do a phenomenal job telling it.
Well, you mentioned it goes back to some of the past players. We're going to be doing a special show before game day starts tomorrow downtown, and we're bringing in a guy by the name of Steve Walker to help us with the coverage.
Oh, yeah.
How big a part did a guy like Steve Walker play into this whole transition?
There's everybody said, a lot of people were saying, what in the world is North Dakota State doing making this move? And, you know, Steve came up and, shoot, he was recruited. Gus Bradley and Bob Babich, he shows up. I'm the new head football coach, and we locked arms and said, let's see how far we can take. These guys didn't have an opportunity to play in playoffs. And, you know, Steve did some phenomenal things while he was here amongst a lot of other guys, whether it be Joe Mays or Craig Dahl.
I talked with Tony Staus the other day.
Yeah. Well, Steve is a phenomenal person and a great football player. And, you know, we can get into all the comparisons. Who is the best Bison quarterback ever? I think it's, you know, that's great coffee talk, and I'm glad you guys are having Steve on.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun thing to bond. I remember those days. You know, for those fans that remember when the Bison made this move to Division I, and we were doing shows at a different property in town, but we were doing some of those shows, here's the switch. Not all fans were for that.
No.
Remember those days, Craig, when we'd sit down? Almost like I'm really trying to sell this is going to be okay.
No,
remember those?
Very, very well. I mean, that was a very controversial decision, and we were on uncharted waters, and now you got game day coming to play.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I was one of them that said, I don't think this is a great move.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up, Tank. I wasn't going to say it. I was not going to say it, but I was waiting. You know what? That's one thing about Tank, though.
Yeah.
He shoots straight from the hill.
Yeah. And I'm glad you guys proved me wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, it's This is a great day for everybody in North Dakota.
Right.
This week is. But we got to play football. What do you know about Delaware State?
Well, dangerous football team. Their record is 0-2 and some lopsided scores. And you watch tape and go, okay, wow. Offensively, they're a wide-open attack. They sling the ball around. A lot of times they line up in an empty backfield, no backs in the backfield. So something is going to happen one way or the other, something really good for them or something really good for the opposing team. Defensively, a stacked 3-3, a lot of blitzing and stunning and guys coming at all kinds of different angles. And once again, somebody's band's going to be playing, and we just hope it's ours.
Kermit Blunt, the coach at Delaware State, joined us yesterday. Great line when we were talking about the 3-3 and the style of defense and whatnot. He's going to throw at you, Craig. And he said, you know, though, I'll bring everybody if I have to. It was a great line. And he's right, because in essence, you look what North Dakota State did to Kansas State this year and how that ballooned. Now think of what Bill Snyder felt when that train started getting into Manhattan, and then the game happened, and then what happened. Mm-hmm. And here you've got Fargo, massive attention focused on Fargo, North Dakota, at North Dakota State. In essence, Delaware State is playing the role of North Dakota State, in essence, Greg, and that's obviously something you always got to guard against when now you become the big dog.
Without question.
Right.
And that's what is so important there, your preparation. Nothing's going to translate into performance on the field other than preparation. And preparation is not always fun. It takes a lot of hard work by coaches and players, putting in the prep time during the course of the week, and that's usually the best indicator I know on how a team's going to play. We've had good spirited practices. We utilize the off week to work on our fundamentals and to work on Delaware State. So we're anticipating playing well. We're anticipating Delaware State playing very well also.
Team out of the MEAC, they call it. There's the Bethune-Cookmans of the mm-hmm. world and all that, for those that aren't familiar with that thing.
Monday, you said offensively, your last game, maybe one of the best complete packages you've seen from your offense, but defensively, I thought second half you lost some of that momentum or fire. I thought.
Well, when you're down on personnel, Tank, let me tell you how this whole deal went.
Yeah.
So you're down on personnel anyhow. We're down corners. Okay, they're utilizing an offensive formation where there's typically you play nickel. You get Brian Shepard knocked out of the game because he's suspended because of the new rule, target rule. So now you can't play nickel. Plus that quarterback, if you look up his stats, I think last week he rushed for 240-some yards and threw for another 200. He was a big rascal. He's 6'4". He's a good football player. And we did. We lost our edge. Now we gave up 10 points. You know, you get done, you walk in the locker room afterwards, and you win 56-10, and it's kind of like, okay. We played well, but we can play better, and all mm-hmm. our players recognize that.
And I think throughout each week, if that's still coming out of Craig Bull's mouth, I think you'll take it, win, and have the ability to still have to play better, right?
We have to play better. Our guys set a high bar. It wasn't even me saying it. They knew it. But there was, nonetheless, there were some really good things that occurred during the course of the game. You got to build on the positives and correct the negative things.
What is Shepard's status for tomorrow's game? Is he good to go, or does he have to?
He is. He was kicked out of the game, suspended in the first half, and so he served his suspension. He's good to go now. If he would have been kicked out in the second half, then he would have had to sit out this next
part
half.
Of this,
and
okay.
So I'm not. You know what? What I'm disappointed in is the Missouri Valley has chosen not to do reviewable plays, and in a penalty like this, it's controversial. Patty knows how I stand. That, you know what? When you look at student athletes, to have this severe a penalty, there needs to be reviewable data.
Indeed.
And we've got to get our arms around it. We need to be proactive instead of reactive. And right now, our conference, I think, is behind, and I've stated that. And we're in hopes that nothing's going to get done this year, but, boy, I think here's a case in point. Now, the play, okay, I get it. I sit on the NCAA Rules Committee, gray area, tell the official to flag it. Well, now you've got evidence that shows one way or the other, okay, let's overturn it in a case it's a bad call.
We're asking
5 years ago, you're saying, great hits.
And here's
here's
what we're running into in college football. We see it on a week-in and week-out day. We're asking officials, good officials, to make spontaneous calls to judge intent on some of these hits. It's not easy to do.
No, that was a bang-bang call. Those are hard calls.
Yeah.
Those are hard calls. And you know what? 90% of the time they're making them right. Occasionally they may, but all those guys, I spoke to the Big Ten officials, the MAC officials, and the Valley officials, all of them in one room. And then we had a breakout session. I addressed the Valley officials. I said, okay, give me your guys' opinion on reviewable plays. Do you want it? 100%. Those guys want to get
hands
the
go
fight.
Up.
Yeah. So anyhow, Shep's back. We got Nickel back. There's a band called Nickelback.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. I've used that for all our
Nickelback. Yeah, but anyhow, we got all our guys ready to go. So, you know what? We got a big game to play.
We are going. We'll limit because Craig's time is short. Obviously, the man's been busy.
But you know
this
what?
Week.
This show's important.
I know it is.
I want you to know that.
Tate looked at me and says, "Craig's coming in today." I said, "You know what? That probably doesn't shock me because Craig,
you're pro sports in the area. You're fair. You're balanced. You work hard. You do your homework. If you're wrong on something, you say, "Hey, you know what? We're wrong." You're straight shooting guys, and I know you got a broad listening base out there, and this is important. So for me, I looked at my schedule and said, you know what, I'm going to make it work.
Awesome. 237-3767. Might have time for a couple of calls today. 888-458-6926. Again, but this is large. Game day rolls into town, and I'm curious because Ryan Smith joined us this week. And Smitty says he's in bed Saturday morning, rolls out of bed. He's watching game day. And he had to do a double take because he hears it on the announcement going.
Oh, yeah.
So it's funny. It speaks the maturity of the team. And after Brock Jensen's emotion was poured out over national television on the K-State because you put the mic in front of the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care who it is. They put the mic in front of the quarterback. And Brock's such a great face and voice for the the organization because he speaks from the heart and he's passionate.
Right.
My guess is they're probably – you mentioned that they'll have the players in. How much access do you allow your players to media like this? Not saying that they're going to, you know, read into it and not perform well tomorrow, but how much from a head coach's standpoint do you have to guard against all that, Craig?
It depends on which players there are. Yeah. You know, age and maturity level makes a difference. And then also knowing these guys. You know, those years when I was at Nebraska, I talked to Herb Street, I'll bet you four or five times during the course of the year, and they do their homework, and they also understand. They understand college athletes, they understand players, and they're promoting college football, and they also understand that their latitude. They don't want to abuse it, but also you got to give them guys credit too. I trust them. And so I look and go, you know what?
And half of them played the game, so they understand for both sides.
What you find, everybody says, well, certain guys are hard to deal with because they're high maintenance, on and on. The higher up you go, and with these guys, they got all their ducks in a line, and they know all the protocols. They know they know where they need to stay out of. And so that gives you more of a trust factor. And so, you know, they're going to have, you know, they're going to have a little bit more latitude. But also you got to recognize that they're promoting college football. There's a reason why they're in Fargo. And you know what? We need to let these guys do their jobs.
The boys from Dover get a little play in this too. Don't say yourself. Kermit told us as much.
Hit the lottery. We hit the lottery. They hit the lottery. Let's split our tickets. Delaware State's coming in, going, wow, you're on game day.
Are you kidding
me? Our helmet's going to be on game day. I want you to think about this. That's national TV. I don't know what their ratings are. Probably not as high as this show. But I mean, it's a national market. What does that do for a school? Somebody said it's worth $300 million.
Yeah, think of the residual on this. I mean, that's and you're right. The helmet now, of course, he'll put on a Hornet. I'm sure
Tank said
he may need security.
Yeah, that would be bad
to get out of downtown. Downtown Fargo. So the game plan in place tomorrow. You're comfortable about how the fellas have practiced and approached this game tomorrow. By no means, obviously, this is Saturday, and then you deal with it after that, right? I mean, that's it. Bottom line, I know the conference is coming. Right. Craig, but knowing you, the only talk this year has been this week has been a little hard.
The most important game that you have to play is the one that's this next week, and our guys have always bought into that. They understand how important it is to get a win and to move forward, and so that's what we're doing.
What area of your football team are you most excited to see tomorrow improvement out of?
Well, you know what? I'd like to see our rushing defense improve. You know, we had done a great job. Kansas State's guy rushed for almost 1,000 yards in the Big 12. He's got all five offensive linemen. We got to get that rushing yardage down. And the ball is going to get thrown around. The ball is going to get thrown around. Very rarely, teams just throwing it is going to really win championships. You got to be able to run the football, and you better stop the run. And if you think I'm crazy, go down there. There's a guy named Dr. Tom Osborne that forgot more than football than anybody else. Those principles don't change. What does Alabama do? And so we got to stop the run. We got to do a better job with that.
They got a quarterback that has transferred from went to a JUCO out in California. Kermit Blunt was talking to us about this. Murphy is his name. You'll hear his name if you tune in to Scotty. JUCO out in California, out at Dover, beat out, I think, two or three other guys for the spot. I think Coach Blount likes his leadership on that. You know, you get a, like you heard in our open, you get a team that's hot that limits their mistakes and increases their margin against this, and all of a sudden that's what you have to guard against every week.
Yeah, and the best way I know to guard against it, Jack, is to make sure you do the things that you do well and execute those things and go out and play the game. And we've stuck to that formula. Things have gone pretty well for us.
Personally, Craig, for you, how much of your time has ESPN come to you and said, look, we need you on the set here? What's your story?
They've done some things, but they've been really, you know, once again, they're really mindful of time. I mean, we had a conference call where we covered a lot of different things, and Fowler was on point. He was, okay, boom, boom, boom. We got to cover this, and this. Coach, we really understand your time's valuable here. We're out. Peace. And like I said, what you find is, you know, whether, it was Keith Jackson,
right.
You know, when I used to deal with him or different. I mean, guys, they get it.
Yeah.
And
they
so,
know you, too. You've been around long enough where,
yeah.
You know, an institute. Let's take Craig off the college scene. Casey, but Gus Bradley's off to an 0-2 start, right? What would your advice be to Casey?
He doesn't need my advice.
No, but if you were to look at it from a coach's perspective, as two colleagues go, Gus realizes this, that it's a work in progress.
He knew when he took it.
That he was getting into
it. I just remember this. He used to always sit around and joke, you know, he and Todd Wash and a couple other guys,
Wash.
They'd be chewing the fat in the defensive room. And, you know, Gus loved to talk about all kinds of sports, and he was talking about Phil Jackson with the Lakers. And he used to always say, well, you know what? Yeah, he goes from the Bulls to the Lakers, you know, hey, I'll tell you where real value, go over and take a pro franchise that's not doing very well. That'll tell you something. Well, that's what Gus has got. Got a little work ahead of him. But if there's a guy up to the task,
right, he's the guy.
You know what? The glass is always half full. They'll make progress.
There was a Todd Wash reference there, so a big shout out to our friends in Newtown today.
That's right, yeah.
You've been through Newtown, I'm sure.
I've been through a lot of those places. Yep. Todd Wash jumped off the bridge over Newtown, I can tell you that. Yeah, that's how crazy Washer is.
He was a big one. All I know is they were on my City League team back in the day, and it was nice to have Wash in the post in the paint area.
That's right.
Tomorrow it is Bison game day, 2:30. It's going to kick off Gate City Bank Field at the Fargo Dome. You folks downtown, as you heard Desmond Howard say on our open two, and now there's a Heisman Trophy winner and an MVP in the National Football League and a Super Bowl. It's a chance to represent your city, Bison fans. This is a real chance to make us all look good. Right?
Without question. You know, a lot of people say, what are they doing? Why are they taking it down there? I was like, just relax.
Sick.
These guys know what they're doing. There's a plan that they have in place. Embrace it, and it's going to be a good thing.
Did the fellas let you in on this last week?
I was sworn to, yeah. You know what? During the course of the evening, I didn't tell our assistant coach. I said, we might want to think about this or that, and they're all kind of looking at me. And what was frustrating, this is what was frustrating, though, is I was coming back. I'd been out of town recruiting, and I have one daughter who's she's a football nut. You know, she's like, she follows all the – remember the girl in the Return of the Titans or whatever?
Oh,
coach's daughter.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right. That's right.
I land and she goes. She started talking about game day. I said, yeah, you know, we may be on. She goes, Daddy, it's already been announced on ESPN. She goes, I'm tired. And she also heard when I got let go at Nebraska. She found out about it on ESPN.
She found out before.
She found out that on ESPN. She goes, you know what? And she found this out. She goes, I'm tired of getting my news on ESPN, Daddy.
The joys of a profile position.
That's right.
Exactly. I know it's game day in the bowl house, though, because his lovely and talented wife said, I said, what do you think of this week? And she says, all you know is there's two dogs and one piece of meat.
That's right.
You've been hanging around, Craig,
too much during game week. Yeah.
Were you able to make it over to Moorhead? How's the boy doing over there?
Well, you know what? I watch the Dragons. It was a downpour. score.
Terrible.
And we got beat on a back shoulder fade there with 3 seconds left. But Coach Lockway and the crew, they'll keep on plugging along. I know they've got a big game this week.
At Winona State,
I believe. Playing at Winona State. And so kudos to those guys. They just got to keep trucking along.
That's pretty cool. I just can't believe the kid's in college already.
Yeah, he used to. Remember I took him down to tailgaters and everything?
Yeah, I used to play catch with him on the sideline when he was that big. Now he's a big stud college kid already. Craig, as always, we appreciate you stopping in. You know that.
Take care, guys.
Head coach of the North Dakota State Bison, Craig Bull, in studio today.